Paul George hits a miracle three-pointer, but the Mavs end up beating the Los Angeles Clippers, and Russell Westbrook saves the Lakers. And then, real or fake, are the Lakers as cooked as a Thanksgiving turkey? Let's talk about it in the Wednesday edition of Locked On NBA. Let's go.
You are Locked On NBA, your daily NBA podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Locked On NBA, the daily podcast covering everything you want to know about the association, recapping all the games the night before and talking the biggest stories. And on Wednesdays, I'm your usual co-host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter, and the host of the Locked On Pelicans podcast.
And I am John Corrales, Reds Army underscore John on Twitter, and I host Locked On Celtics.
And thank you for making Locked On NBA your first listen every single day. We are free and available literally everywhere, wherever you get your podcasts, and available on YouTube. Basketball talk 5 days a week, recapping all of the games. We're going to tell you what happened. So thank you on NBA your first listen. And today's episode of Locked On NBA is brought to you by Truebill. Truebill is the new app that saves you money by helping you identify and stop paying for subscriptions you don't want or need. And they can even help you negotiate better deals on those you want to keep. All right, John, we're recording a little bit later on a Tuesday night. I guess it's Wednesday morning technically now, because the Dallas Mavericks and the Los Angeles Clippers went into overtime thanks to a miracle Paul George shot that tied the game up at 103. But ultimately, the Mavericks win 112-104. We'll get into overtime in a second, though. But that shot by Paul George, one, was pretty incredible with 1.1 seconds left on the clock. And the Mavs were up 102-92 with a minute and a half to go before the Clippers managed to come back 10 points down and send it to overtime. This is just an incredible shot by Paul George, or just completely blowing it by the Mavs.
Little column A, little column B, Moxie Kleber, hit your free throws, which is funny because I was listening to the Clippers broadcast.
They were so homerish, by the way.
Oh my God.
They are like, it's way over the top. It's brutal, but it's pretty over the top.
It's over the top. It's so over the top that it becomes spectacular. So they on Maxi Kleber's first free throw, they're like, oh, he's perfect from the line this season, and he makes the first one. Like, they're really trying to jinx hard, and then he makes it, and you just hear, damn. And then he misses the second one, and they're all celebratory. Then, I mean, obviously that we were talking about it before, the Paul George getting able to compose himself, bobble it, but still get that shot off in time. Amazing shot. And there, you know, people were talking about the clock and the home clock and whatever, but it looks like, just from our amateur kind of quick, like I was doing like my stopwatch, it's plausible that, you know, he caught it on the catch, and it's within the right range of starting the clock. And so great shot on a night that Paul George wasn't really hitting a whole lot early on, but he stepped up when he needed to there at the end of regulation.
No, that's kind of the big thing, right? Because like, the fourth quarter was really interesting. Basically, both teams were doing the same thing defensively. It was double Paul George, get the ball out of his hands and get it to any other Clipper, and they weren't converting. And then the Clippers were doing the same thing to Luka Doncic. Double him up high, get the ball out of his hand, and then they were actually making their threes and passing the ball around to try and find an open shot. And that's why they took the lead. And then late in the game, you saw the Mavs just waste time. You had Luka basically just take like a heat check three for no reason early on in the shot clock. They wasted a ton of time on a Kristaps Porzingis post up, and just like wasted possessions horribly for that final minute and a half that allowed the Clippers to just get enough. And then, you know, for that fourth quarter where they're doubling these guys, taking the ball out of their hands, it's kind of poetic in a sense that Paul George gets the ball and then makes that shot.
I think for you know, Dallas, you get away from the stuff that got you there, and you feel like, okay, now we're at the end of the fourth quarter. We have to go to our closer. Where you don't have to go to your closer. Just you can keep, you know, punishing them the way, you know, how you built that lead. But they, you know, you get away from that stuff. They were hitting three pointers. They were 0-for-11. To start the game, and then they were 12 of what's that work out to be? 28?
12 to 26. Yeah, 28.
12. 20. So after the game, and that was, I mean, or after that 0-for-11 start, you know, work the ball around, get some shots, you know, and force them to foul you, force, you know, get the ball to your, to there are other shooters. Now they were hurt by Jalen Brunson going out, but you know, you don't, I know you have Luka. Look, I'm a Boston guy. I know exactly what Luka can do at the end of a game, but this didn't have to, it doesn't always have to go that way. And you know, when you force it, then you do things like blow a lead late.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. And look, they get good contributions from like everyone. Kristaps Porzingis was really good in this one. 30 points from him on the night. He was perfect from the line. 7 rebounds as well. Luka put in 26. Dorian Finney-Smith really contributed. It was like kind of everyone really stepping forward that also kind of carried them into that 10-point lead late in the fourth. And then they just completely went away from it and let Clippers get back into it. And then it goes to overtime, and it's the most anticlimactic thing that you could imagine, right? Like the Clippers scored 1 point in overtime, and it was on a technical free throw after Kristaps got teed up. They didn't have legs left. It's kind of one of those like almost classic examples of you spend all that energy to get back into it just to tie it, and then you've got nothing left after the fact.
This is the argument for the Elam ending. Because overtimes don't go the way, like you have this big finish, you know, the Clippers, you can even say the Clippers hold Dallas to a tough stretch there at the end of the fourth quarter, or Dallas blows it, whichever perspective you want to take, and they make their run, you know, and they run out of gas, they, you know, teams that make these big comebacks, and then things have, like, overtime is very rarely something that continues to be down to the wire. So this would have been a great case for the Elam ending. What if that Paul George shot was the shot to get the final number of the Elam ending? That would have been really cool.
I agree with you. That would have been awesome. Yeah, it sucks, right? Like, that was such a cool shot by Paul George, and it's now kind of like relegated to like whatever. We don't care. It doesn't matter. No. It's inconsequential.
Can we talk about the most impressive part of this overtime?
Oh, yes, please, 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 please.
How in the world does Reggie Jackson make the same exact play and have two wedgies the exact same way? It was almost like I was looking at a replay. The two back-to-back wedgies are much more statistically improbable than Paul George hitting that shot. Much more impressive. I don't know how, like, Reggie Jackson, there should be a special award for that. Two wedgies?
You rarely see two in a game, right? Like that's got to be a very, very, very rare thing, let alone. Game. Yeah, I know. That's a fair point. Let alone two by the same player in like the same sort of motions in everything. It was pretty incredible. The Clippers broadcast was also joking about that. I think they said it was the first wedgie in overtime history, which, like, I don't know if that's true, but if it is, that would be really cool.
That'd be amazing to do two back and like back to back. Look at the play-by-play here. There was when did he do that?
They weren't back-to-back. I think one was in the fourth quarter and one was in overtime, right?
I thought they were both in overtime.
They might have been. It all kind of blurs together.
It does blur together. I'm like, I've got like so many things going on over here. I'm like, but anyway.
No, but like, it's actually like, that's just kind of one of those things. Like, that's going to get as much play in terms of highlights as the Paul George three now, because the Clippers just did nothing in OT, which kind of tells you a little bit about like our media consuming habits.
Okay. Let's quickly though, just to be serious here, to see this Porzingis kind of return here and kind of keep up his hot streak. This is like the type of performance now that we're looking at with the Mavericks, who have been up and down and all of that. You say, okay, hey, Porzingis is starting to put this together. Maybe there's a little bit of life here for the Mavericks after all. And this can kind of help propel them a little bit.
No, look, he should have had in overtime what was a dagger, with basically that kind of like Euro step through four guys on defense for an easy dunk. And like, he looks very, very good. Before we get into the Lakers in the next segment, though, we also got another game tonight. The Miami Heat beat the Detroit Pistons 192. Detroit was up, I think it was 9 going into the fourth quarter, and then basically just forgot how to play basketball, scoring just 16 points in that period. While Miami got hot and started shooting the three ball well, Tyler Hero 14 points in the fourth quarter to pace the rest of the Miami Heat is obviously the better team won, and Tyler Hero putting in 31 off the bench.
Yeah, another kind of good team versus a bad team, you know, blah, 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 blah. Okay, now we got to turn it on. Here it is. Pistons in the last two fourth quarters, they had the collapse against the Lakers, and they have this collapse against Miami. They've been outscored in fourth quarters the last two games, 70-33 in those past two fourth quarters. Yeah, like Miami, and it wasn't even like, you know, Jimmy Butler and, you know, Bam Adebayo. It was, you know, Gabe Vincent, Caleb Martin, and Dwayne Dedman, you know, along with Kyle Lowry in a stretch there. And there, you know, it was Miami defense getting out to, you know, into transition, and Tyler Hero, obviously, you know, hitting a bunch of three pointers. So it was kind of like Miami just turned up the defense. Detroit has, you know, no clue how to handle that yet. Poor Cade Cunningham had a really, really rough game in this one. And
especially in the fourth quarter where he didn't make a shot.
Yeah. This is like two real strong learning lessons, you know, the hard way type of games for the Pistons. This is why you play them. This is why they're this bad. It's, you know, learn them, build your calluses to this, understand how Miami did this, understand how the Lakers did that. Even after LeBron got ejected, understand how the best of the best come back in those situations and what you need to do to kind of keep your composure, because that's what, you know, Kyle Lowry did in that situation. Kyle Lowry didn't do a whole lot, but, you know, he's in there with 7 assists and 7 points in the fourth quarter. So that's the lesson that you learn as Cade Cunningham. You look at Kyle Lowry and you're like, okay, that's the guy. That's who I got to model myself after.
That's a good player to try and kind of follow in the footsteps of. So two more games in the association last night, the Denver Nuggets and the Portland Trailblazers, and then the Los Angeles Lakers taking on the New York Knicks. We'll get to those coming up here next in today's episode of Locked On NBA. But before we do that, today's episode of Locked On NBA is brought to you by Truebill. You know why free trials renew without your consent? It's pretty simple. It's a business scam that's out to get you. Don't let greedy corporations pocket your money. Download Truebill to take control of your subscriptions today. Truebill is the new app that helps you identify and stop paying for subscriptions you don't need, want, or simply forgot about. And on average, people save up to $720 a year. That's a lot of money with Truebill. Companies make subscriptions hard to cancel, but Truebill makes it incredibly simple. Just link your accounts and Truebill will cancel your unwanted subscriptions in one tap. And you have your Truebill concierge who is there when you need them to cancel unwanted subscriptions, so you don't even have to deal with it. I hate when I get dinged for $9.99. I feel dumb and I've lost money in the process. There's no worse feeling. So I put all of my subscriptions into Truebill so I can make it easy to cancel all of those. And Truebill now has over 2 million users and has helped save them over $100 million. So don't fall for a subscription scam. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. Go right now, Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. It could save you thousands. Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA.
I just got a new shipment of Built Bars, like they sent me a sampler. Ruby Chocolate, Built Puffs. Lemon dip cheesecake, Built Puffs. What is this one? This is Caramel Almond Delight. And all of these are like 150 calories with 16 or 17 grams of protein. I don't understand, Jake, how these things are so
They're delicious. So good.
So delicious and still good for you with the calories and the protein and low carb and low fat, covered in chocolate. Bring them with you to Thanksgiving dinner, which is, you're listening to this on Wednesday. That's tomorrow. If you have them, bring them with you to your family. Bring a couple, slice them up and say, hey, here's a sample. Let everybody know that if they go to built.com and use the promo code LOCKED15, they'll get 15% off every time at built.com. These are good enough to be dessert if you want them to be. Toss out that 300 calorie pie and have 150 calorie slice of lemon dipped cheesecake Built Puffs. It's awesome, delicious, and good for you. I like to have them after the gym. You can have them as a meal replacement. You can have them as a snack and feel good about them. Built Friday, Built Bar has a Black Friday special coming up. Make sure you mark your calendar. That's going to be a huge, huge event with surprises. Always use the promo code LOCK15. Every single time you use it, it's going to be good for 15% off at built.com.
All right. Thank you for making Locked On NBA your first listen every single day. We're free and available 5 days a week. No paywall or anything like that. Just basketball talk, recapping all the games the night before. And we got two more for you in a pretty light night in the association. And this is the Portland Trail Blazers beating the Denver Nuggets 119-100. No Nikola Jokic for the Denver Nuggets, out with a wrist injury. They clearly struggled on offense in this one. While the Trailblazers got 25 points from Damian Lillard, he was shooting lights out from 3, 5 of 8. And then CJ McCollum with a real big game, 32 points from him. He also made 5 threes. The Trailblazers have kind of righted the ship a little bit. I don't think they're like a team that you're worried about in the playoffs, but they'll be in there. And I'm not worried about them like not being in the playoffs anymore, essentially.
Isn't this how it always goes with the Blazers? Like, this is, we're just talking about this like last week or the week before. When Damian Lillard, especially, but also, you know, CJ, they combined 10 of 17 from three. But when they're shooting well, boy, they look good. And when those two guys, especially Dame, is not shooting well, boy, they look bad. And I feel like Dame's shooting has masked and covered for a lot of issues in Portland. But that this is the type of performance that they need. They need him to put up 25 points on 69% shooting. I think that's part of the problem in Portland. They were like, okay, what do we need to put around Dame? Because Dame's going to be megastar, super white hot, awesome. And when he's not, you get the beginning of the season. When he's better and when he gets help like this from CJ, then you look at him and go, oh, yeah, hey, 10-8. Look, they're in the sixth seed right now. They got a positive point differential. Yeah, they look a lot better. I think this is just going to be a roller coaster season for them, and it's going to end the same way as most of them end. Maybe you win a playoff series, maybe you challenge, but it's going to probably end in a second round exit at best, and we're going to be in the same spot. So it's not the coach, it's the construction of the team. And hey, congratulations on beating a Denver team that was so
17 turnovers in this one and was so bad because of that. Like, they made it kind of easy on the Trailblazers.
Yeah. And then, you know, you lose PJ Dozier to what looked like a serious injury. Hopefully it's not that bad. And you don't have Jokic, and obviously the whole Murray thing. But look, Adam Mata's put out the tweet. It's sums it up perfectly. The Nuggets are plus 120 with Jokic on the court in 454 minutes. They're minus 123 with Jokic off the court in 410 minutes. There's your sample size. Complete opposite performances with Jokic on and off the floor. And then on top of that, you add more illnesses and, you know, who is just got
you've got injuries, you've got bad offense from them at times. They're kind of discombobulated, I think. And look, you're not going to win very many games when Jamal Murray's not there, when Nikola Jokic isn't in there either, right? Like, sometimes it's just that simple. If your stars aren't there or not playing well, frankly, you might kind of struggle.
Yeah, and I meant to say it was Michael Porter Jr. that I was talking about, obviously.
Yes.
With the nerve injury. His season is in jeopardy. So, like, We're about to talk about the Lakers. Are they cooked? Real or fake? It's very real that the Nuggets are looking pretty cooked the way these
straight losses form now. Yeah.
Five straight losses. Yeah. Now you've got, you know, you're 9-9 and it's just not looking good. And how much can you lean on Jokic, especially after how much you leaned on him last year? You know, they put him through a lot last season. And I don't know if they can justify putting him through as much as they did doing that again. They're going to have to if they're going to stay afloat.
Yeah, they don't really have a choice, right?
Yeah.
Just kind of one of those things. I don't know. We'll see. They're going to be an interesting team to watch, but they're still okay with him. And then the final game that we're here to talk about in today's Locked On NBA, the Los Angeles Lakers falling to the New York Knicks 100-106. This one was kind of an up and down affair. The Knicks led by 25 points in the first half at one point, and the Lakers just looked done. They looked cooked, and that's going to be what we're going to talk about in the third segment. And then you get almost a vintage Russell Westbrook performance, probably his best shooting performance as a Laker. 31 points on the night, but he was 10 of 18 from the field, 3 of 6 from deep. He also finished with 13 rebounds, 10 assists, and 2 steals. You know, Anthony Davis started slow in this game before coming on. He finished with 20 points. He was dealing with flu-like symptoms. You know, is this one of those things where you look at it, and this will lead us into the next segment too, and it's like, okay, when Russ is playing really well, there's someone who can still kind of drag this super old Lakers team across the finish line. They didn't get it in this one. Or is this like the Knicks starters just still kind of like struggling and almost regressing from what we saw last year?
Look, I think this is more on the Knicks struggling. They had a bunch of turnovers. They just didn't know how to close. They had 14 turnovers that resulted in 22 points for the Lakers. They had a couple of turnovers early in that fourth quarter that were live ball turnovers that resulted in a three-pointer and a Russell Westbrook dunk. And those are the type of things that get teams going. So, and look, those turnovers were sloppy. They were terrible. Yet, and the ones that weren't live ball were just balls that were thrown out of bounds. There were a number of those. Yeah, there's only one turnover there that was kind of nobody's fault that got deflected and bounced off somebody's foot. All the rest were just bad turnovers for the Knicks. And look, the Knicks are shorthanded too. No Derrick Rose, which, you know, he obviously helps for them. No Taj Gibson, who, you know, still being 85 years old, is out there and being, you know, he does what Thibodeau wants. So, and no Mitchell Robinson, who's, you know, made some contributions. So the Lakers were shorthanded, obviously, without LeBron, and Anthony Davis was sick. But the Knicks had key guys that I think had they had their bench units, their full bench units, that would have been a little bit more. They could have relied on that a little bit longer. But yeah, the Knicks starters, like, this is a nice win. I think the Knicks starters, you know, at the beginning of the game, they were saying, oh, the Knicks starters are back. No, you're playing against a real crappy Lakers defense. So I don't think this did much for the Knicks starters. And I think we saw at the end when the Lakers made a push that they crumbled.
Yeah, no, they did. Look, they kind of rely on a lot of that offense right now, right? Like, they can hit threes from so many people and they can happen fast. And all of a sudden you're just buried under a flurry of points. And if they weren't shooting so on, they shot 15 of 34 in this one. It's 44% from deep, right? This game complexion looks really, really different. And maybe we're not having that same discussion in the first half of, oh, the Knicks starters are back, because at one point they did look really good. But it also helps when you can just outscore the opponent from three by a significant margin. And the difference here was 4, and that's 12 points. And the winning margin was 6 in this game. So when you kind of break it down, I'm not super impressed with the Knicks in this one. And they were doing that, as you said, against a struggling Lakers team, right? Yes, a Lakers team not at full strength, but you also see the limitations of some of these guys. You know, Horton Tucker went 0 for 8, didn't score a point in this one. Dwight Howard was largely ineffective. There's some really kind of weird things there with them too, right? Mm-hmm. With DeAndre Jordan and how they're using him. Let's talk about it coming up here next in our real or fake segment. I think we're going to somewhat agree, but not like fully agree on this. So I'm actually looking forward to this, and we haven't planned this one out too much ahead of time. So that's coming up here next in today's episode of Locked On NBA. Before we do that though, today's episode of Locked On NBA is brought to you by betonline.ag. It's Thanksgiving. We're talking basketball, but we know that Thanksgiving is all about football. There's football Thursday, there's football Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday as well. And nothing goes better with football and turkey than betting. And BetOnline has all holiday season, more props, odds, and lines than ever before. And BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this Thanksgiving. So head to their new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus. You put in $100, you're getting $50 back when you use our promo code LOCKEDON. That's all you have to do. And it's not just football. BetOnline has college hoops. They've got NHL, boxing, UFC, even your favorite Vegas casino games. So don't wait to take advantage of of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. You can bet over-unders, props on players. You're listening to Locked On NBA. We know you're a smart basketball fan. You can use that sports knowledge to hopefully grow your bankroll just a little bit. So BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. BetOnline, they're stuffed with deals this Thanksgiving. All right, thank you for making Locked On NBA your first listen every single day. We're free and available 5 days a week. No paywall, recapping all the games you didn't watch, but we did because that's our job. We just covered all four. So we ended on the Lakers. And you, so real or fake is the third segment we try and do when the games are a little bit light, where we bring up a topic and it's, is it real or fake? And I think this one is, when you see the Lakers lose, when they clearly are struggling a whole lot right now, are the Lakers cooked this season, right? Are their title odds just slammed shut? So, John, I'll put it to you.
Okay.
And I think I know what you're going to say here. I think we all know what you're going to say. Real or fake? The Lakers cooked.
I mean, look, it's mostly real that they are. It's not. There's only one hope here for the Lakers, and that's that LeBron can finish the season strong. And like, it's November. Thanksgiving's a day away. So nobody's really fully cooked here. But you look at this team and you look at the comments from after the game where the question was about the Lakers defense. And the answer was, you know, our coaching staff is trying to be really creative with the personnel we have and trying to put them in positions to succeed. And the pivotal phrase there is with the personnel we have. So when you're asking the coach, hey, your defense, and he's sitting there saying, well, with these guys, we're trying to get creative. Like what he's saying is we got a bunch of guys who are old and suck right now at defense or don't want to play defense. And we got to get creative. They play, you know, a bunch of zone. The only thing they can do now is let's zone up because they give up.
They're playing a lot of it.
They have to.
Yeah,
they
no, they, I'm with you. No, you've never seen a Lakers team do this much zone.
They got no choice because the guys can't move. And it's the only way they can even try to protect the paint. So I was getting on the Knicks, like the Knicks didn't attack the way they should have. When the Celtics played the Lakers on Friday, I was just hammering them. Like everything's got to go in the paint. And they finally ended up with 56 points in the paint. And if you're playing the Lakers and you don't end up with 50 points in the paint, I think you're doing something wrong. The Knicks played and got 36, but I think that was just a reaction to how much zone the Lakers were playing. They're like, we're just going to shoot over the top of it. And I think that's what the Lakers are just hoping for. You can't, if you can't get to the rim, maybe we'll get lucky with you shooting over the top of the zone and missing, and we can get those rebounds and get out. But if that's what you're resorting to now, I just don't see that plan coming together later when LeBron is going super LeBron. I think it's such a long season. The personnel that they have is not great. I don't see the Lakers actually being a good team. And if they are, it's only because LeBron has found some level again, and Anthony Davis finds that level again, and they stay healthy. I don't see all of those things happening.
So I agree with you that I don't think they're a title team. You kind of look at this, and as you said, personnel really isn't there. They're not particularly well coached, in my opinion. So I don't think they're a title team. I actually think their ceiling is a good bit higher than what we're seeing from them right now, not defensively, but offensively. They're pretty predictable and I think kind of easy to defend, right? You just wall off the paint right now when they don't have LeBron and try and slow down Russell Westbrook and Anthony Davis. And maybe they're going to have outlier games where Westbrook goes 3 of 6 from three, but like that's not what he normally does, right? So if you kind of take away the paint and force him to be inefficient, I think you can clearly shut this team down. Kind of same for Anthony Davis, right? Sometimes he falls in love with that mid-range jumper way more than he should when it's not falling. He had that great playoff run with it to the title in the bubble, but it hasn't really been the same since then, and that's looking like a bit more of an outlier than the actual fact. But if they can kind of figure out something offensively, right, and they clearly aren't good on that side of the ball. I think they're ranked in the bottom five in the league when it comes to offense. Let me pull it up right now. 24th out of 30th, so they're terrible there. you got to do something with DeAndre Jordan, maybe like less of him and try and do some more small lineups to just kind of open things up. I think there's kind of a higher ceiling for them offensively, but defensively, they can't defend. They're not going to defend. And you're still relying on Anthony Davis and Russell Westbrook. And Westbrook's just too inconsistent. Yes, he's going to have games like this, right? Early in the season, you and I had one where I think the headline on the show was like, vintage Russ leads to a Lakers win or something like that. So he pulls this off once every couple of weeks, right? But you need that from him basically on a nightly basis. You need him to be an efficient shooter on a nightly basis. And like, that's just not who he is. So I think they're better than their record indicates, and they'll be a decent enough playoff team. But no, there's like no shot at a title here, in my opinion.
I look, you need Westbrook. The whole point of getting Westbrook was to help carry you through this part of the season. You got Westbrook, you know, sure, the playoff run and all that stuff, but Westbrook was supposed to be the guy that comes in and kind of helps carry the Lakers through the first 30 games while LeBron is kind of like slowly working his way back and Anthony Davis is slowly working his way back. Now I'm going back to the Celtics game because I was watching him specifically and I'm looking up close and I see LeBron James switching onto people like Romeo Langford and Josh Richardson and not driving or not backing them down and settling for turnaround jump shots. And if that's what LeBron's going to be doing, at least for now, you need somebody else to carry the load. You got Westbrook in to be your point guard and your primary guy and to take some of the usage off of LeBron. And now LeBron's missing time and LeBron, you know, there's also the suspension and all that stuff. And Westbrook isn't doing that other stuff except for a game here or there. That's a problem. There still exists, Jake, the scenario where Westbrook does figure it out. It takes a few months for them to get their chemistry together. He snaps into place and LeBron snaps into place and they make their run. That is certainly absolutely possible. And it's not that they're the ninth seed right now, because I said coming into the season, I don't care where the Lakers finish. I know at some point they're going to be floating around down here and they're going to make their run to get up to that fifth or sixth seed and avoid the play-in. And there you go. Then the Lakers become dangerous. But it's so dependent on things that look so bleak right now that
or just inconsistent, right? You don't want to bet money on Russell Westbrook being good the rest of the way, or I shouldn't say good, consistent the rest of the way, right?
That's where it centers, right? That's the epicenter of it.
No, it is. It is. It is. It's Russell Westbrook being consistent enough for them. He's strung two really good games together right now. He's good against the Pistons. He was good last night, but against Boston, 12 points, right? We've seen some stinkers from him, and it's the shooting's not there. That's not what he's known for. And so when you pair him with AD without LeBron, they're kind of simple to defend. It's not particularly hard. And I don't know if I trust Vogel to figure all of that out. If he does, I think there's some upside there. But that's a lot of ifs. And I'm not going to bet online and putting money on that for this team right now. So I think that's kind of really what it comes down to. Yeah.
The last point I want to make is the bigger problem is that they don't have a way out of this.
They don't have assets or anything.
It's either hope that the LeBron Westbrook scenario that I laid out works. And I'm not saying that there is still a possibility, obviously, that works, but they don't have a trade your way out of this or sign your way out of this. This is it. If it doesn't work, if that scenario doesn't hit, and that's why I'm so down on them. If that scenario doesn't hit, there's no plan B. It's either that or nothing. And so it's like taking something or the field. Like, I feel like I'm just taking the field over that one specific scenario hitting.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. So there you go, real or fake, and it is real that the Lakers are cooked. So that's going to do it for the Wednesday episode of Locked On NBA. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone here. And as always, I'm your co-host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter, and the host of the Locked On Pelicans podcast.
And I'm John Corrales, @RedsArmy_John on Twitter, and I host the Locked On Celtics podcast.
Thank you for making Locked On NBA your first listen every single day. Now for your second listen, go check out Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q, with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. It's free and available on all platforms, and they've been on a heater, so you're leaving money on the table if you're not checking out Locked On Bets. So happy Thanksgiving, everybody.